Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Chris Reisner, and today my guest is Ben Hindman. Ben, would you like to tell everybody who you are and kind of what you're here for?
Sure. Thanks, Chris. It's great to be here. So my name's Ben Hindman. I'm one of the founders and the chief architect at Mesosphere, where we are building the data center operating system, which is built on top of some open source technology that I actually co-created when I was a PhD student at Berkeley called Apache Mesos.
Okay, great. And maybe you could start by kind of telling us what Mesos is.
Sure, yeah. So Mesos is some technology that we built when I was a PhD student at Berkeley, and basically the idea behind Mesos was we wanted to make it easier to run lots of distributed systems on the same cluster of nodes at the same time. So kind of in this cluster management realm where there's been a lot of different cluster management in the past that people have worked on, we were realizing that there was a way that we could actually build a more innovative cluster manager where we could drive up resource utilization, we could make it easier to build new distributed systems on top, and we could effectively make it easier for an operator to be able to sit down and operate their cluster like it's one big computer instead of a bunch of computers that are kind of all connected together. They have to manage all the individual machines.
Okay, so in my mind, what I think of when you say that is, you know, I've got these resources, so virtual machines, for example, yeah. And I've got all these different applications or systems I want to run on top of them. Mesos would kind of help me figure out how to do this in an optimal way instead of me having to figure out, well, if I put this application and this other application on this server, that's how it's going to get the best CPU usage, like that sort of thing?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, I mean the what most folks are doing in traditional IT today with virtual machines or with physical machines is you're saying, okay, this machine, whether it's virtual or physical, is going to run this application. And so they go and they fix that application to that machine. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, this machine is going to run this application. And you run into all sorts of problems when that happens. You know, what happens when that machine dies?
Yep.
You know, then someone gets paged and they have to go and they have to spin up another instance of that machine that runs that thing. What happens when you want to scale up and you want to use more available resources, mm-hmm. right? You got to go do that process. And one of the big ones, which I think is really interesting, is even with virtual machines, you know, when you end up pinning a single application to that virtual machine, if you set that virtual machine to, say, be 8 cores and 8 gigabytes of RAM, mm-hmm. and the app's only using, say, 2 cores and 2 gigabytes, you're still wasting 6 cores and 6 gigabytes of RAM.
And you're paying for those cores and
that
memory that you're
exactly.
not using.
Exactly. So instead, wouldn't it be better if we could just pool all the resources together, and when you go to run your application, you can just say, hey, something, figure out where there's available resources where I can actually just run this application.
It sounds like this would play well, or, you know, comes up very in line with the containerization movement, you know, away from, you know, figuring out just what you're going to do with an individual virtual machine and, you know, packaging things up in these smaller containers.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So one of the things that we were recognizing when we were first building Mesos and we were looking at existing cluster managers was there was an opportunity here to do things in a very, very efficient and lightweight way. We wouldn't have to spin up entire virtual machines to actually run things. We could containerize the applications directly on the host operating systems using whatever primitives the host operating systems actually provide. Mm-hmm. And so then we could spin up tasks in microseconds, milliseconds, instead of, say, minutes that it takes to, say, boot a host operating system or guest operating system inside of a virtual machine.
Perfect. Yeah. And if you do want to know more about, you know, kind of the difference between the virtual machines and the containers and, you know, Docker, which is a very popular containerization technology, we do have an episode that we did on that and cover that in pretty depth, in pretty big depth, which will include a link to that beneath this video as well.
Awesome.
Great.
Awesome.
So why don't we, if you're ready, I guess
yeah,
we'll jump
sounds
in.
Great. Sounds great. All right. So we'll go ahead and we'll start with actually showing what you can do with the Mesos for data center operating
great.
System. So when you first spin up a DCOS instance, so I've already done this in the clouds. When you first do this, you're presented with this screen, and so you can go ahead and you can sign in. So to start, I'll just use my, I use a fake operating system or email.
Okay.
And so there's a tour that you can go ahead and take. And if you start the tour, it basically just walks you through different parts of the DCOS. So you can kind of continue through the tour. The first thing to start up is basically the start screen is your dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
And the dashboard, really, we've got a couple of these widgets that we present at first glance. And the first one is really CPU allocation and memory allocation. And this is now CPU allocation across our entire cluster.
Okay. Now, sorry for the segue, but when you deployed this, so you deployed this into Azure, is this dashboard running there, or is this something that you're running wherever?
It's running in Azure, yep. Okay. It's running in the cloud.
So this is my dashboard as opposed to some centralized.
You got it. So it's not a product where, you know, if we have to be running some of our things. It's all your own hardware, whether it's public clouds or private clouds, whatever
okay.
it is. Yep. And so that's the first thing. And again, so this is the CPU and the memory across your entire cluster. So in this case, you know, you're not running anything, so it's actually empty. And then this is the tasks that you're running. In this case, we've got no tasks running. And then the services that we're running. So the first service that we actually launch, no matter what, is a service that we call Marathon.
Okay.
And it's kind of like you're in it for your data center operating system.
Okay.
So, you know, like Linux has init or systemd or these types of things. For us, we have Marathon. And, you know, the idea is it's Marathon. It runs and runs things for a long time.
Sure.
Right? It's long
living. It's not going to shut down right away.
Exactly.
<It's there.
laughs> Exactly.
Gotcha.
So that's Marathon. And so the first thing that I'll actually do, and so here's it's more tasks, and then we see that we have six nodes connected at this point in time.
Does that mean that you have six virtual machines connected,
In this case, we have six virtual machines because we're all running the cloud.
Okay.
But this could be a connection of some virtual machines, some physical machines. This could be some instances that are in the cloud, some mm-hmm. physical machines you actually have in your own personal data center, your own private data center.
Now, outside of the installation process where you've installed, you know, whatever the Mesosphere client is to all these machines, does that become kind of transparent then for me as like the person that's using this?
It exactly does.
Okay.
Yep.
Great.
Yep. So we'll just be using the client. And this is this is the data center operating system CLI. So it's a CLI for all the resources you have in your data center computer.
Great. Which
you know, or data center computers as it is across.
Okay.
Across clouds. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so you know, as I mentioned, we just have this one service up and running right now, and so we'll go ahead and we'll actually launch some more services. So to do that, I'm going to swap to the CLI, and actually the first thing I'm going to do is I'm actually going to walk us through deploying a sample web app with DCOS, and we can provide a link to this.
Right beneath the video, you'll see
perfect,
this.
Perfect. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm actually going to walk through this sample web app so you can kind of see what it looks like to actually take and run a containerized application really, really simply.
Okay. Right.
So one of the things that's really interesting is, you know, containers are just kind of one part of the story. There's all these other services that you end up needing to run, whether they be in containers or not.
Mm-hmm.
That how you have to bring up, you know, the full stack, if you will, to actually run your application.
Sure.
So a typical one for a lot of web apps is some kind of stateful store, and in this case, we're going to use Cassandra.
Okay.
So we're actually just going to go ahead and DCOS package install Cassandra. So I'm just going to copy this command. I'm going to jump into my my terminal, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to run this. And so here it says, hey, you know, you're looking to install the Apache Cassandra DCOS service. You know, does this look good? The default configuration, you're going to need at least three nodes worth of resources. We'll figure out where to schedule those across whatever resource you have in the data
mm-hmm.
center. You know, continue installing. Yep, we're good to go. So we're going to go ahead and install this. Okay, good. So we get that up and running, and now that starts to run.
Now, what would happen if, let's say, you'd already installed so many applications that, you know, is there some check that says, you know, you really don't have the resources to run this?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So there's in the widget page, you'll be able to see some alerts that start to fire, which mm-hmm. are saying, hey, you know, you're out of resources. You can't actually run these things.
Great.
Yeah. So we'll just jump back here, and we'll go ahead and we'll go here, and you'll start to see that now we have this new service that's popped up. We call it Cassandra.dcos, and you can see the current health of it is idle. This is because it's actually staging. It's actually getting booted up.
Okay.
Marathon is now running as healthy because it's actually running some tasks. This first task that Marathon is running is actually the Cassandra. We call the Cassandra scheduler, the coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And what the scheduler, the coordinator, is doing is it's actually going to launch other tasks itself. So this is actually pretty crazy when you think about it. You know, usually it takes humans, you know, operators, a long time to go and set up Cassandra. You got to go to each of the machines, provision the machines. You got to set up. Cassandra operates as a big ring. You got to have each person pointing to other people in the ring, or
right.
you have to have them all pointing to peers. So it's a big, lengthy process. And we're able to actually come in here and just say, we're going to go ahead and just launch Cassandra, and we're going to coordinate all the pieces itself.
Now, so when you install Cassandra, is that something where Mesosphere had to go and kind of Mesosphere-ize Cassandra?
That's a great question. Yeah. So what we've done is we've taken something like Cassandra, and we've basically just taken some of their existing interfaces for their own plug-in interfaces
mm-hmm.
and provided things at that level where you can just take an off-the-shelf Cassandra, and then you can take our plugins to Cassandra, and then you can go ahead and you can run Cassandra directly on the DCOS.
Okay.
So where Cassandra would say, go to schedule to, you know, a cloud provider or something else like that, it can schedule directly on the data center operating system instead.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah. Okay, at the same time, so you see that we've actually launched some tasks. So at the same time, since I'm going to use it later, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to package install Spark as well. Spark is an analytics framework, and we're going to use that to kind of show this full stack web application that
mm-hmm.
includes, you know, a front end service that you can use as well as doing analytics on the back end.
Great.
So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start that off. And again, it asked me a bunch of the same questions, you know, would you like to install this stuff? And so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do that. Now, I'm going to jump back here, and I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to start actually installing some of these apps. So first thing I need to do to actually do that is I'm going to pull down these JSON files, which actually represent the specs of the specification of this app that I'm trying to run. So I'll actually cat the JSON file so we can see what's inside.
Great.
Yeah. So I'll do this. I'll pull this JSON file down to start, and then we can go ahead and we can look at it. We can look at linker.json. And you can see in here that basically this is describing this microservice that we're about to launch. Mm-hmm. And so what this is saying is it's saying the idea of the application is Oinker. We want to launch 3 instances of it. It's going to use containers. The type of containers it's using is Docker. Where can you find the Docker image for this container? At the Mesosphere Oinker. The specific tag is the Shakespeare tag, and you'll see why that's relevant in just a second.
Okay.
We're going to use bridge networking. We're going to set up some ports. We're also going to put health checks in place so we can make sure that this app continues to run, and if anything happens to come up, we'll make sure that we reschedule the app if it happens to fail. And then the basic command for the app is, we're going to go ahead and we're going to make sure that we have the necessary bits to connect to Cassandra, and then we're going to start up our Rails server.
So would this be sort of like a Mesosphere configuration file for this application?
That's exactly right. So this is a DCOS configuration file. Specifically, it's the Marathon configuration file that we're going to give to Marathon. You know, again, Marathon's the init to start things up, so it's this basic spec that we give to Marathon that it then uses to run the application.
Okay. And so for basically any application you want to deploy to DCOS, you build a file like this.
You got it. You got it exactly like that. Okay, so at that point in time, now I can just take this and I can go ahead and I can launch the app. And so I'm using Marathon here. So one of the things that's pretty interesting about the DCOS is that we've got a bunch of these subcommands, basically. So in the first case, I was doing DCOS package install to get these things actually installed. Mm-hmm. And this so the subcommand there is package. In this case, the subcommand is Marathon. So I'm saying DCOS, consult with Marathon. Specifically, we want to work with the apps. The app we want to deal with is coming from Oinker.js JSON, and we want to add this app. Okay, and so there's actually a bunch of subcommands that you can look at. I probably should have pulled this up earlier, but there's a DCOS help. So there's lots of other commands you can run. One of the useful ones are things like DCOS tasks, where you can get all the lists of tasks, and you can get the same information in the CLI as you can in the GUI that we showed earlier.
Great, so this might be a way you could use that to automate things on your own side.
That's exactly right.
Great.
That's exactly right, yeah. Okay, so as long as the Oinker app is launching, we're going to go ahead and we're going to launch another component which we need to run Oinker. This is just a little router application. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pull that down. Once I've pulled that down, I'm going to go ahead and then spin up that application as well. We're going to let all these things get spun up in the background, and then we can go play around and see how that looks.
Great.
Okay, so at this point in time, we've got some stuff up and running now, so we're going to just swap back here. We're running a handful more tasks now. We're running about 12 tasks. 8 of them are actually running, 4 tasks are in staging. So we can kind of scroll up to the top. We can see, a quick glance that of the services we've launched. We said, we're going to launch Spark earlier, so we got Spark running. We launched Cassandra. Of course, Marathon's always been running. And the CPU allocation across all the data center right now is about 8%, which is actually pretty low.
That is definitely very low, yeah. We could fit a lot more in there.
We could fit a lot more in there. And that's actually one of the really, really fun things about what we're going to do a little bit later is this is kind of the typical operation for most folks is they just run a few apps per machines. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be able to take advantage of all the resources in the machines when we start to run a whole bunch more apps.
Now, out of curiosity, if at this point, let's say this was your whole workload and you weren't going to put anything else on there right now, could you look at this and then say, wow, I can take some nodes out of the system because I don't need them?
You could exactly do that. Right, you can go and you can say, I don't need as many machines. I'm going to downsize, and I'm going to run less nodes. In fact, if we jump to this nodes view that we have real quick, we can see the list view. We can also see the grid view, and the grid view is really interesting because if we pop up the grid view, you can see for each of the nodes that we have running how the allocations look across all the nodes.
Okay.
So down here, you see that actually there's one machine where we've allocated absolutely nothing thus far.
Might want to go there and shut that one down.
Might want to shut that one down. But of course, one of the parts of being an operating system for the data center is if you go ahead and you shut down this machine and this machine and this machine, we'll just use whatever available resources to reschedule the applications across those other machines.
Great. Yeah. Okay. So very cool.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm just going to jump back here and look at our services real quick. I think one of the interesting things is actually being able to look and dive into, again, in the since we're an operating system, we have apps or services that are running on top, and mm-hmm. those apps and services have their own UIs that they want to expose.
Sure.
Right. So Marathon kind of being our init. We've got a user interface for that, so we can dive in and we can look at this user interface, and it shows the things that are actually running. In this case, it shows that it's still deploying Oinker, so we've got 3 of 3 task instances that we're trying to run, so that's not up yet. The router one is up, so we'll just wait for that one to pop up. And we can go. So there it goes. You just saw it go green. So now everything's up and running, which is fantastic. And we can do the same thing with Spark. We can you know, jump in and look at the user interface, you know, for the service, which is Spark. And in this case, we haven't launched any drivers, so it looks empty. You know,
right.
Nothing's actually running. Cool. Great. So I'm going to jump over, and I'm going to look at the Oinker application, which we launched. So this is kind of, you know, this is actually inspired by Twitter.
Okay.
So here we go. We got an application that lets you oink.
just think what the world would be like if instead of tweeting, we were oinking.
We were oinking. That's exactly right. So it's kind of fun here. You know, I can jump in and I can say, okay, what do I want to oink? And I can, you know, do the natural thing that I have to do when I'm. So here we go. So I've got this microservices up and running, and it's this full stack application that's actually hitting Cassandra in the back end to store the oink that I just write, mm-hmm. and then reading that information back in from Cassandra and displaying it here.
Great.
So here's our Oinker application. Now, so this is pretty fun. You know, we just launched a microservice pretty quick. We got Cassandra up and running.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to do very much to have a full stack to build something like Twitter from, you know, in a handful of minutes.
Definitely.
So at this point, what the fun part is, well, now you know you've got all these oinks that are coming in, mm-hmm. and now you want to analyze them because you want to do whatever you need to do with all
maybe
the oinks.
Maybe sentiment analysis. Maybe
exactly,
like
you got
that.
It. Sure. You got it right. So you want to do something, and so to do something like that, it would be great if we could run something like Spark. So we've already got Spark up and running here, and so I'm going to go ahead. This command line is basically just going to let me go ahead and launch a Spark application.
Okay. Right?
So just like we had DCOS Marathon, we've got DCOS Spark, which is now a subcommand that I can use to quickly launch a Marathon a Spark application. So I do that, I spin that up, and what we're actually going to be doing is we're going to be running through all of one of Shakespeare's texts. And we're going to be taking that text and the speakers and turn that into a bunch of oinks.
Fantastic.
So we're basically going to be hitting Cassandra with a whole bunch of oinks so that we're going to actually fill up the database.
Okay.
So in a second, you're going to see a driver show up. What you first saw happen here, though, is that we started to use a little bit more CPU because we're launching a few more applications.
Right.
So if I spin back here, you can see that we submitted the job successfully, and so we'll get that job spun up in just a second. Just like some of our other commands, we've got a sub command that we can run with Spark. So we can mm-hmm. DCOS Spark run.
Okay.
Now what I actually did was I actually put together a real quick little script that I call Analytics Team. Mm-hmm. And the analytics team script makes it look like there's a bunch of different people from the analytics team that are actually launching these Spark jobs.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to run this analytics team script rather than me running a bunch of different Spark jobs myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to spin up a bunch of Spark jobs on the cluster.
So basically what I'm seeing then is that in this situation, you might have, instead of just having some admin who's just, you know, installing Cassandra, installing Spark like that, you can use the same stuff to basically, or, you know, like a script in this case, to essentially emulate people that are running, you know, active jobs using DCOS.
That's exactly right.
Great.
Yep. So you've got an analytics team. They've got their Oinker application running. They want to start running some analytics jobs across Spark, across whatever resources are available in their cluster,
mm-hmm.
and so they can do that. And so,
great.
So this script is going to act as a whole bunch of folks. And I've actually even put a handful of names in here. So we'll randomly pull out different names. So you know, the first person launching a job is Ali. Ali happens to launch two jobs in a row, which
mm-hmm.
I don't know what the random probabilities of that are, but whatever.
Sure.
And so we've got some jobs spinning up. So some jobs might fail, that's totally fine, but we'll come back here, and what we're able to actually see is that we're going to start running some jobs, and our CPU allocation is going to start going to go up because we're actually running more tasks.
Okay.
Great. So we've been able to launch a bunch of Spark jobs, and they actually start running. And what those are actually going to be doing is they're going to be populating Oinker. So we'll jump over to Oinker, this web app that we're running.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be populating Oinker, as we can see, with a whole bunch of these oinks that are actually coming directly from Shakespeare.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great.
That's what I expect to see.
That's great. Great. So one of the things, like, you know, I kind of showed bouncing into the Spark user interface. You know, the user interface for that service, the user interface for Marathon. What I'm going to jump into now and show is actually the lowest level user interface, because there's a couple things that you can still get from that. So this is actually what's coming from Mesos. This is what we consider really the kernel of the system that we have running.
Okay.
So I've just jumped in here, and I'm actually just going to go to kind of this interface, which shows a whole bunch of the tasks that we actually have running. So you can kind of scroll through and see all the tasks we're running, as well as completed Sparks. You saw a bunch of Spark tasks that have run, some that actually failed for various reasons, other ones that have actually been finished. And what we can do is we can actually jump really quickly into the sandbox for one of these tasks that have actually been launched. And then we can go ahead and we can actually look at, you know, whether there's any files that are being generated in that sandbox, or we can go ahead and we can just look at the standard error for that sandbox, which is actually a tailing standard error. So if this thing was actually still running, we'd see the logs actually being tailed in here. It actually also pages, so if you scroll up and there's more things, it'll actually page in all the logs directly for you. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, standard out, we can go ahead and we can launch this and we can see what's running from there.
Okay.
Very cool.
So now, where do people go to get started or to get more information about?
Perfect. So for running on Azure, you can go to this page right here, and we can give you the link. Yep. But basically, it's mesosphere.com/. Azure, and that's where you can go to get more information about running on Azure. And of course, you can go to just mesosphere.com, and you can click Learn, and you can start learning all about how to actually run things on the data center operating system.
How do people reach out to you if they have questions?
Yep, so they can send us an email at info@mesosphere.com. They can reach out to us on Twitter at @mesosphere. They can come to our website, and actually there's a bunch of places on the website where you can contact us from there as well.
Great, and we'll include links to that at the bottom of the video as well.
Great.
Well, Ben, thanks for coming and showing us what you can do with Mesosphere. It's fun to see this new abstraction of this data center OS and how you can, you know, essentially not worry about the machines or stuff like that. It just kind of handles it for you.
Yeah, awesome.
So cool. Very awesome.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for coming out, Ben. Thanks for everybody out there watching. Make sure to follow us at Cloud Cover Show, and we'll see you next time.